Okay, Bob, would you like to unmute your line, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay, well, welcome to the Hidden Profits Teleseminar series. And this morning, oh, Bob, I screwed up. Let's hang up and start over since nobody's on.
Okay.
Okay, because I've started recording this. So let's hang up and start over.
Hang up?
Yeah, hang up and start over. Hello? Bob, can you unmute your line with star 7? Hello, Bob.
I'm here.
Okay. Good morning and welcome to the Hidden Profits Teleseminar Series. I'm Linda Roth, the founder and CEO of LJR Consulting Service and the sponsor of the Hidden Profits Teleseminar. LJR Consulting Service is a mid-market advisory firm who helps executives of mid-market private equity firms improve their profitability by improving business process, organization, and information technology. The purpose of this service is to explore ideas of how to make your business more profitable by implementing lean business practices to become more efficient and reduce cost. In modern times, we tend to focus first on revenue growth and second on financial engineering, and we completely overlook cost structure except in direct cost of production or during a downturn. When we do focus on cost, it is usually either just product cost or temporary budget slashing. I call this the corporate crash diet. Just like people who want to lose weight in a hurry and drastically reduce eating, corporations want to lose cost fast and drastically reduce spending everywhere. However, as in the diet, it can't be sustained and we gain all the weight back. So in corporate cost slashing, it can't be sustained and we gain all of the cost back and more. We rarely change our lifestyles, and the same is true in the corporate world. We rarely change our corporate lifestyles. In dieting, we all have learned that the way to be successful is to incrementally change our lifestyles. This teleseminar is about looking at ways to make incremental changes in corporate lifestyle, taking advantage of technology, services from our suppliers and service partners, and best or leading business practices. We as humans don't really like change, especially major transformational change. However, when it happens incrementally and we build an environment of rewarding small change, it does not trigger these anti-change alarms in our psyches. Our subject today is what your ERP system knows and should be telling you. My guest expert is Bob Michelin, a partner at MBSG Consulting in Los Angeles. So, Bob, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and MBSG?
Sure. Well, we help distribution and manufacturing companies survive against the brutal competition in today's economy. And the magic we provide is we teach our clients how to streamline and automate dozens of little things that add up to a big difference. In a nutshell, we are what my father would call efficiency experts. We use tools like ERP and business alerts and business intelligence to cut costs for our clients while maintaining or improving their customer service levels.
Well, and that's really important these days. You and I have been on the same wavelength about that for a long time. So before we get too much into the detail, let's define some of the terms we're using. Let's first define what an ERP system is, because I know some people still struggle with that acronym.
Sure. Well, the ERP is an abbreviation for Enterprise Resource Planning, ERP. But in simple terms, it really means the accounting software plus all of the extension modules that go with it, like inventory, order processing, purchasing, warehouse management, all the collection of that software is ERP.
Okay, and companies use those today, and many companies are out looking at new ones. So what should our system be telling our clients?
Well, as we discussed, that's the interesting thing that prompted today's seminar. Is, you know, companies routinely record their transaction data. They've got customers and products and orders and vendors, and they're doing business and they're collecting data. But buried within that data is just a wealth of information that they could be using and aren't. And the information will help them streamline their operations, cut costs, speed up cash flow, et cetera. And the concept of what your system should be telling you is you don't have to wait to look. You can have the system proactively alert you when there's an exception event or there's an action that needs to be taken. And within the business alert tools and processes, it tells the managers exactly what's happened and can suggest actions for them to fix it.
Okay, well, also we use the term business alert. Let's define that term and have some examples of how companies have used business alerts.
Yeah, well, the term business alerts is the software tool that says, hey, I recognize that there's a trigger event, and part two is tell somebody about it. So there's an event, and then there's an action. That's the concept of a business alert. The software is constantly monitoring the system and finding something that changed that's important and sending an alert. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Credit limits is really one of the most popular business alerts with really big payback. In today's economy, many companies are struggling with low accounts receivable, which means that the cash flow is down and there's financial pressure.
That's for sure.
And I'm not sure that anybody anticipated the events of the last 18 months or so where things just sort of ratcheted down very fast. But there's still part of this pain that is self-inflicted, that companies could have done something and could do something and should do something to help prevent some of the cash flow problems. So let me be specific. Everyone on this phone call has some kind of accounting software. And in every one of those software packages, there's a customer master file or a client master file. And for every customer in the master file, there's a field where you can enter either a credit limit or a customer hold checkbox, on hold, not on hold. So there is a place for people to record whether there's a credit limit for that customer. All right, well, that's great. Let me just assume just for that everybody's been very diligent and they've entered that credit limit. Now what happens? Okay, let's go to day-to-day operations. I'm sitting on the order desk, and a customer calls to place an order. And, again, assuming the best case is somebody has put a credit limit on the customer and up flashes a little warning sign to me, person on the order desk, customer is over their credit limit or on credit hold. Well, what happens in real life? Well, in real life, I normally would not say to the customer, hey, you're on credit hold, I can't take the order. In real life, I, the salesperson, would say, oh, yes, I'll take the order, but I know that I have to alert our credit manager or somebody about the situation. So without business alerts, what do companies do? Well, I might make a note on a piece of paper, hey, I've got to talk to the credit manager about this new order. Or I might send an email to that credit manager and say, hey, this order just came in, you know, they're on credit hold, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
All of those actions require me to do something and require me to remember to do something.
That's correct.
And what's liable to happen is while I'm making myself a note, another call may come in and a new order comes in, and now my mind is on the new phone call. So what happens? That order could flow through the system without any action being taken, or that order may sit in the system and nothing will happen because The system has flagged it as on credit hold, and there's nobody taking any action. So here's where Business Alerts comes in. With Business Alerts, the software recognizes that an order came in that's on hold or over the credit limit, and the system sends an email to the credit manager, who's ever responsible, say, hey, this order is sitting there waiting for you to do something proactively. Doesn't require a piece of paper, doesn't require me, the order person, to send an email. Now there is something in that person's inbox giving them an action. And that can repeat. It can, depending on how fast the orders turn in your company, that email can be sent every 20 minutes, every 2 hours, every 4 hours, every day, and it can be escalated until somebody does something about clearing that credit hold or authorizing that order. Those emails will continue to flow without anybody having to remember. Or if you want a list, at the end of the day, it goes to the credit manager. Here's all the credit orders. Here's all the orders on credit hold. The point being that you use the software tools to send proactively information, either as an email, as a report, or in other ways to somebody to take some action.
And so then in that particular case, the action would help reduce sending orders to clients that are not paying right now and potentially
Absolutely.
Give an opportunity to clear up some back accounts receivable, because the best time to
Absolutely.
Get people to pay is when they're trying to place another order.
And that's the key point, because by default, what happens in almost every accounting software is, yes, when you take the order, you get the warning they're on credit hold, and what happens is the general policy is to take the order. That's what general policy. And the picking department or the shipping department, is their general policy is to periodically print the pick tickets and start picking the orders. Now, in the olden days, people would get some companies, they know who their problem customers are, and they'll pull that picking list, and or the salesperson will take the order, and they'll put in big red letters, you know, do not ship until you receive the check, or wait for credit approval, and you know they can stamp it, credit alert. It can do anything you want on that piece of paper, but in the urgency of the moment, the shipping department doesn't always read everything they're supposed to read, and that order can go out the door. Well, once that order goes out the door, your leverage is very low, as you point out. Wouldn't it be better if you could prevent that order from going out the door? And one of the things that we've done with Business Alerts is we recognize a credit hold situation, and we immediately change the flag inside the pick ticket to do not print. And I say we. I mean, Business Alerts recognizes there's a condition, recognize the order is on credit hold, changes the flag so that the shipping department cannot even print that order at all. That all's handled automatically. Very simple software. Very little amount of time taken, huge payback, because you're not shipping orders to people that already owe you money until you have a conversation with them.
Plus, you're also not wasting the time and the blood pressure of the manager who comes out and says, we weren't supposed to ship that order.
Well, and that's the flip side of it, because also with Business Alerts, you know, now you've got orders sitting in the system. Let's say we've successfully prevented it from shipping. Well, the customer is still expecting that order to be shipped. They don't know that you've decided to hold it. So Business Alerts can send an email to the appropriate sales manager, credit manager, executive, whoever, that says, hey, here's the orders that are scheduled to ship 2 days from today that are on credit hold, or tomorrow, or you know whatever date parameter you set. So that's the flip side of it. You've got orders that are supposed to ship, but are being held until some action is taken. And the action generally is somebody calls the customer and says, hey, we've got your order, love your business, really appreciate you, but we're a little behind here. You know, can you catch up on some of these old invoices, and then I'll release this order, and you get either a commitment or an actual check. So you have the tools to take proactive action before it becomes a cash flow problem.
Well, that's a really good example, and I think that it shows that there's multiple ways that it helps. Have you got some more examples of things that you've done that have helped, like the executives of the company, or just in general, some other examples of time saving and profitability enhancing alerts?
Yes, I do have some other examples, but I have to tell you, mentioned the executives. Phone calls like this, sometimes it's hard to get across the real complete power of business alerts. But once any of our clients has installed business alerts and started using it, you know, you couldn't pry it away from them. I mean, it becomes such an invaluable tool. The light bulb goes on. We talked about a credit example. Let me give you another example, is the profit margin example. We have business alerts running at several of our clients where the president gets a report every day of any orders that have hit the system that are below the profit margin guidelines. Well, how does this happen? Again, the person is on the order desk, and they're talking to their customer, and the conversation proceeds, the guy down the street offers me this, and you do it for that, or however the conversation unfolds, and the order desk takes an order and puts the price on it. Now, the salesperson might be authorized to lower the price, or they might not be authorized. You might have tools inside your software that only allow orders with a certain level of profit margin, or you may not. I mean, setting up that level of control is sometimes too much of a constraint for a company. They give people guidelines, but they don't actually prevent them from entering orders. However, with the business alert, if somebody does take an order and there is the total order or a line on the order falls below the profit margins, an email alert goes off to, I'll say the president in this case, and say, hey, here's an order sitting in the system. Just wanted you to know. And the president can look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's for Walmart or whoever. Yeah, we agreed to give them that. Or the president can say, wait a minute, you know, we gave this guy a special deal last time. We didn't agree to do it this time. Or, gee, I told that salesperson he no longer, you know, should be selling things below a certain profit margin. The point is, the business alert goes out before the order ships. There's a chance for somebody to review it. Maybe they picked the wrong item. Maybe they put in the wrong price. Maybe it was done on purpose. Maybe it wasn't done on purpose. But catching this before the order ships gives you tremendous leverage. Very small investment in time, very small investment in software to do the business alert, and, again, huge payback.
Yes, that is a big, huge payback.
I'll give another example. We have,
okay.
We have alerts running that are name and address change. Now,
right.
Name and address changes can be benign. I'll talk about in accounts payable. If you change the address on a vendor, the embezzlement people will tell you that that's a warning flag. The addresses on vendors change, but not that often. And they would say, hey, you ought to monitor those. So we have business alerts running that if somebody changes an address for delivery of a check to a vendor, that gets sent to the controller or somebody else just for review, so at common address changes. Or there's other opportunities for address changes. You may have multiple systems at your company. You might have a prospecting or CRM system separate from your accounting software. I mean, it's better if they're integrated, but if you may have separate systems. You may have many distribution companies, they have their UPS system that is separate, although it should be integrated. The point being that if you do have separate systems for whatever reason and there's an address change, you can send an email to everybody responsible for all the other systems where you need that person's name and address changed. If people have private Rolodexes, which we don't agree with, but if you do, and there's multiple people that are keeping separate, you know, Rolodex or Outlook files, you can send the information to everybody, to every place that address change needs to be changed. Or if you really want to get fancy, for some of our clients, we've got two mission-critical systems going, when it changes in one system, we'll have the business alert software recognize the change and go change it automatically in the second system so that there's no human intervention at all. It says, hey, the address change in our master system, go update the subsidiary systems. So that's another example of business alerts.
Well, and I agree with you, even though the goal and certainly best practice says that you have an integrated system, sometimes that's not always possible or feasible in every company. And so having a situation where it doesn't require somebody to remember that they have to go and change the other system is certainly makes life a lot easier, and it sort of simulates having a completely integrated system. So there,
I might mention. Oh, please go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I was going to mention, you know, we've sort of been spoiled in our everyday life as consumers. We're used to companies like Amazon.com, where if I place an order on Amazon.com, I get an acknowledgement that says, hey, you've just placed an order, you know. And then later I'll get an acknowledgement that says, hey, we've just shipped your order. And along with it comes a tracking number that says, here's your tracking number. Now, Amazon spent, you know, a few $100 million for that system. But if you're a distribution company sending everything, anything to any customers, and you don't have that kind of feature in your software, you can add that as a plug-in with the business alerts type software. So if your software doesn't allow you to send an acknowledgement or a shipping notice or a tracking number, that's something that can be added. In fact, we have added it for several of our clients.
So now you can look like a high-flying business and compete with Amazon.com with just a smaller system and a smaller investment.
Right, and it's more than looking like. It's a level of customer service. You know, what happens if you don't send a tracking number? That means you're going to have customers calling you saying, where's my order? Did it ship? Did it not ship? And what's my tracking number? That means you're going to have people on the phone answering phone calls, looking up information. And this is all information that can be provided automatically without waiting for the customer to ask. And you can drastically cut the number of people that you need on the order desk when you have these kind of business alert software.
Right, and so that's a big savings.
It is a big savings. You know, this is back to, there's a bunch of little things you can do. You don't have to be a multi-billion dollar company. You can be a $10 million company, a $20 million company. You can do a bunch of little things with automated tools that add up to a full-time equivalent, to a second full-time equivalent, and more, and redeploy those people to something more productive.
So the key is not to just look at this as a cost justification of each little thing that you're going to do, but look at it in totality, sort of like what we were talking about. And when you look at lean processes, it's small incremental changes that eventually add up to a much more streamlined and efficient organization.
Absolutely.
So how would an executive know how to determine if they're missing some critical information or if they should be doing this? I mean, you said a little bit earlier that you put some things in for clients that they weren't so sure of, and now you can't pry it out of their hands. So how do they go about recognizing that?
You know, that's a good question. It sort of comes to us in two ways. I mean, either we have an executive that has a pressing need, gee, I wish I could know about this, or gee, I wish I could know about that, and we say you can. Or you have people that, maybe I should attack it from the other direction, of the red flags and the warning signs. You know, walk around your operation. Okay, if I walk into your client or Linda walks into your client and we're fresh, you know, we're going to see things that maybe you just don't focus on every day if it's your company. But let me suggest to the people on the phone call, walk around your company and walk and ask yourself the following. Number one, do you see anybody copying information from one place to another? Are they copying an order from a piece of paper to a screen? Are they copying it out of an order processing system onto a to-do list or a checklist or a review list? Do you see anybody copying information? If you do, that's a warning sign that you can use a business alert to go in, pull the information, and create the list for you. Number two, you see people on the phone answering questions that could be handled electronically. Earlier I used the example of the, hey, where's my order and what's the tracking number? If you have people on the phone answering those kinds of questions, ask yourself, what percentage could go away if you just gave the people the information directly?
Well, you know, that could also be internal, because I'm just working with a client now while we're talking about accounts payable and how much time accounts payable spends on the phone answering questions from other departments about paid invoices. And
that's exactly the point. It's not just external, it's internal.
Right.
You know,
okay.
If you got people giving information verbally that's inside your system, that's crazy. You know, either go look it up in the system or proactively send people those exception events that you know they're going to want to know and that are critical to the business.
Okay. Right.
So I would say that I think, if you see people on the phone giving information, external, internal, that's one of the red flags. And I'd say, back to the original question of the executives, the executives come to us and they say, hey, we got the following situations. We're always shipping short. Our customers are complaining. We're shipping an order and we're not shipping all the items. We're shipping late. They promise us a certain date, but we're not shipping it till a later date. Those two circumstances are almost always situations where you can proactively monitor the system, find causes for shipping short and shipping late, and prevent a large portion of them just by having the information presented to the right person early enough to make a difference.
And does that also include having information sent to customers?
Yes, and anything sent to customers internally. Although we focus on distribution and manufacturing companies, let me just pull an example from our own practice. You know, we, like you, are a professional service firm, and we have people helping clients and incurring time and billing time. So every Tuesday, we have a business alert process that goes through our billing records and says, hey, do we have any clients that have projects, you know, projects that have budgets and timelines, et cetera? And the business alert goes through and says, okay, find the projects that are currently going on, see how much time was charged this week, and create a project report. And we create a project report that is, you know, budget, actual, remaining to be incurred, here's the activity this week, line by line, Joe spent this, Joe did that, everything somebody would put on their time report. And we automatically prepare a project report that goes to the client, goes to the manager of the account internally, and goes to other interested parties that have asked to get copies of these reports. So if we were doing a project for one of your clients, Linda, and you know you were the advisor to the client, then you would get a copy along with the client and our internal manager. This is a business alert that goes out, reads information, again, I make the point, already in our system, what our system already knows, we're not collecting any additional information, formats it, creates a crystal report, puts it in a PDF, and sends a report to all the people that need to know.
Well, and that's a very good example for a professional services corporation because, of course, today in the United States, we have many more service businesses than we do the traditional manufacturing and distribution companies. So it shows how they can use this, too, and that's a good example. You sold me. I like all of this. How do I know if my ERP system or my technology platform can handle it? What type of systems do I need? And isn't this expensive for me to have to implement?
Okay, well, I'll start with the expensive part first. You know, when you do a proposal, you always sort of hide the cost at the end, but that's what everybody wants to know, so they go to the last page.
Right.
This software is not expensive. I mean, just to give you an example, we work a lot with Mass 90 and Mass 200, which is mid-market software.
Mm-hmm.
And this software, the Business Alerts module for that software cost roughly in the range of $1,500 to $5,500. $1,500 for the entry-level basic capabilities, and you add more advanced capabilities up to $5,500. So mid-market software, not expensive, huge payback, and again, once an executive has it, they start to see other opportunities. For other mid-market software like Great Plains and ACPAC and others, they all have some form of business alerts either natively available or there's plug-in modules. Now, the costs range depending on the software. If you've got, a $500,000 SAP software, you're not gonna get a $1,000 plug-in. But for the mid-market, the 10, 20, 30, 50, $100 million companies, software is readily available, easy to use, easy to learn, and high payback.
Well, and it sounds like, Bob, that if I have put in an ERP system fairly recently, let's say within the last 5-7 years, I probably have the capability to do this. I'm just not using it, right?
Most of the time, you have some basic capabilities. Most of the mid-market softwares can send an order acknowledgement if you configure it. Most of them can send an invoice through an email versus through paper if you configure it. Most of them have some limited capabilities. Now, the ones that don't have all of the examples that I've described, like monitoring the credit and putting the pick ticket on credit hold, that requires the slightly more advanced versions of the software, but I would presume that any mid-market software either has the basics or has a plug-in available.
Well, and I agree with you. It does seem like for just a little bit more, sometimes it's that little extra that gives us the complete ROI for all the money that was spent on like a whole product and its implementation.
You mentioned ROI, and maybe I'm... go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead, but, I look at what's happened in the last year and a half, and of the economy, there's a lot of people that are a little slow to pull the trigger on new ERP software or new automation in many ways. They really are scrutinizing it carefully before they put out a whole bundle of money. But at the same time, what's so interesting to observe is companies are making much faster decisions to deploy automation tools like business alerts and some of the other productivity alerts, because for a very small amount of money and a very small amount of time, they get huge payback. So maybe they're being slower to spend the big dollars, but they're spending the little dollars almost without batting an eye, because the return on investment is so quick. I mean, you save somebody a quarter of an FTE, a half of an FTE, a full FTE for a, $5,000-$10,000 investment of software and services. I mean, that pays back over and over and over again. You've got your money back in a few months.
Well, so, that's true.
These tools are amazing.
Plus, on top of that, companies today that are going through an evaluation of needing to lay off to pare down a little bit, one of the things that I've always talked to my clients about is before you do that, you need to evaluate what those people are doing. Just these across-the-board cuts tend to hurt more than they often help. They help in the short run, but then in the long run, things are not getting done. So if you can find ways with a small investment like this on Business Alert that you can save those FTEs and still get the job done, or for that matter, have better service, well, then...
Well,
Yes, it's a great payback.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, up until the economy started to tank, what we used to tell all of our clients, hey, is before you hire another person, call me. I can usually automate the position away that you're thinking of adding. So that was, save an FTE by not starting an FTE. And, with automated tools, anything they wanted to do, they thought they needed, we could usually do with automation. Now it's what you're talking about. A lot of people just take the apps approach. Okay, we're going to cut 10% or 20 or 30 or 40, and then what the expectation is that the remaining people are going to do all the work of the people that just left, on top of the regular jobs. Well, that's fallacious and doesn't work unless you rethink the job. You can't just take the same amount of work and spread it among the remaining people because of the limit of how productive that will happen. But what you can do is rethink and look at, you know, look at the operations, the processes. I know it's the kind of work you do, Linda, where you come in and say, how are you accomplishing this today? And saying, is this the most effective way to do it? Where are the opportunities to streamline, and where are the opportunities to do it with a different workflow that produces the same or better results in fewer people?
Right, right. So that's certainly one of the key success factors, is doing things with fewer people. Are there some other key success factors, and how would we measure the results of the improvements we get from business alerts?
Yeah, I guess I could handle that strategically throughout the operation, or focus it more narrowly on the tools like business alerts. And I, for the moment, will focus it more narrowly on these productivity tools like business alerts, and also some of the business intelligence tools. I would say there's three things to look at. Number one, it has to produce an actionable response. Make sure that whatever you're measuring or sending or alerting gives an opportunity for someone to do something that'll make a difference. When I say do something, hold an order, send an order, review an order, something that somebody can do. So actionable response. Number two is accountability. Somebody has to be responsible, and we could do a whole seminar on who's responsible for inventory or who's responsible for customer service, but somebody has to be responsible. So if you're just firing off emails to a group of people and hoping that somebody's going to pick it up and do something, well, nothing's going to happen. So whatever business alert or exception event that you're reporting, someone's got to have responsibility for monitoring it, and someone's got to be held accountable at the end of the week, the end of the month, the end of the year for the performance improvements. And number three, I would say just general ROI, return on investment. Don't miss the forest for the trees. You know, you can send out, you could, I imagine, I have an illustration I sometimes use of the cockpit of a plane. And there's a red warning light going off here, and a green warning light here, and a bell there, and a, you know, and, you know, the pilots in the cockpit with 57 warning lights. Well, if everything is treated as an exception event, then you're not going to pay attention to anything. It's just going to be ringing and belling and screaming, et cetera. So in putting in your monitoring systems, focus them on something specific that somebody is going to do something about, and then if they have the information, it's going to make a difference. If at the end of the day it's not going to make a difference, then don't bother monitoring it.
That's a very key point, Bob. That's a very key point, because you can go overboard with these things, and people think that they have to get a whole bunch of information in, so now they have a whole inbox full of alerts and warnings that they're not looking at. So it's important to make sure that you only send out alerts on the things that are important and need to have action.
Agreed.
So what advice would you give to companies interested in identifying a project like this, and what would they need to do to set things up?
Well, I mean, I guess not to be flippant, but my observation is two things. Number one, executives kind of know what they're really looking for, and the other is they have no time to figure out how to get what they're looking for. And we find with our clients that are using these business alerts tools, it generally started because either the client has been asking for something they just can't get, or we've gone to them and say, you know, we see this thing over and over again. You really ought to have this business alert. So it starts with recognizing that there's something you need to know, want to know, or should know, and then putting the tools in to do it. Once you've got the software and you've written the alert for one event, then it's a small amount of work to create the event for another trigger event and another circumstance. So I would say that there are companies that will carve out some time, stop, walk around their operation, and make a list of here's all the things that just aren't efficient. I can see it walking up and down the aisle. Or other companies have no time for that, and they would bring in a consultant like you or a consultant like us and say, hey, let's do an operational review. Let's look for those situations where we can cut costs, cut work, but not cut the level of service we're providing our customers.
Well, that's fabulous. Well, and you've been very helpful today, Bob. So let's go ahead and give the audience a chance to ask some questions. I'm going to press star one, which will unmute all the lines, and then we'll see if anybody has any questions. Okay. For our audience out there, does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask Bob about our topic of business alerts today? Bob, do you have some common questions that are often asked of you or any thoughts that you'd like to give us?
I think that, you know, we sort of covered it. It's hard in a presentation to give the full, you know, measure of what this is. I mean, hopefully the examples have been helpful. Certainly, Linda, if you want to send the attendees my contact information, I'm happy to answer any specific questions or happy to have a free consultation on the phone with somebody that wants to talk about how this might be available to them in their organization.
Well, why don't you go ahead and give your phone number and your email address. I will make sure that it's out in the notice when the recording is available, but let's go ahead and give it out, because then it will be on the recording also.
Sure. This is Bob Michelin, and my name is spelled M-I-C-H-L-I-N. Our company is MBSG, and Mary B. Boy, SMG Girl, MBSG. My direct line is 818-338-7234, and email bmichelin, B-M-I-C-H-L-I-N, at mbsg.net.
Great. Thanks very much, Bob, and thank you all today for your time. As I mentioned, a recording of this will be available on our website, which is www.ljrconsultingservices.com. Our next Hidden Profits teleseminar will be on Thursday, September 10th at 10 a.m. You can contact me via email at linda.roth@ljrconsultingservices.com or by phone at 818-709-6583. Also, for additional information, please visit my blog at www.hiddenprofitsblog.com. Thank you, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.